yeah, that's right, he's a motherfucking G, yeah.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. If you missed the previous segment, I heartily encourage you to go to bruceallen.com, hit the radio show tab, and listen to Pastor Drew Sams share some really powerful wisdom. And now it's time for more wisdom with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who's a psychologist and parent coach with tons of experience, and I don't want to lose any minutes with her by going on about how wonderful she is, but you can find her at theparentingplayground.com. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
Oh, thank you for having me, as always.
So I understand you got a little stirred up by my column, not negatively, but stirred up as far as this powerful thinking. And I'd love you to share some of the thoughts that were raised, including what the images that I chose brought up in your mind, please.
Yes, I mean, it definitely stirred me up, not like you said, in a bad way, but just, you know, getting my juices flowing. I really feel like in response to your column about single parenting versus dating and being married, my belief is it doesn't matter whether you're married or divorced, single parenting or not. It matters as a parent how healthy you are. And I'm talking about psychological health. The healthier the parent, the healthier the household. And the healthier the household, the healthier the children. Having two parents does not automatically make a better scenario if those parents are bickering constantly, if there's yelling, if there's sarcasm and disdain and disrespect, or sometimes a worse scenario is if there's silence, there's no communication, no love, no touch, no tenderness. And when some of these factors are present, the impact is just as pronounced as in these homes where you see children raised by single parents and there's been a divorce. So how do we match that up with the statistics that show us that, you know, kids are going to abuse substances and there's more teen pregnancy and there's poor academic outcomes and all of that? And I think that it's very important to understand that statistics reveal correlational data, which means that there is a connection between two things that they're examining, but it doesn't mean that one caused the other. And as a psychologist and a consumer of research, I think it's important enough to understand this distinction that I would like to take 2 or 3 minutes to really clarify this, because if we are not savvy research consumers, we draw erroneous conclusions based on what we already want to believe, and it narrows our vision, and we actually miss the bigger picture, and we miss the ability to make an impact for children on the things that are actually important.
Well, so, statistics can always be manipulated. So that's one of the only things I took away from my MBA was understanding how statistics can be so manipulated to almost any desire you want. Nonetheless, there are certain things that tend to be truths, generalities, and people get really uncomfortable with generalities. Much of my writing, particularly in my Men versus Women series, is about generalities about men and women. And I always qualify it. Of course, there are exceptions, but there are certain correlations that can be drawn from statistics, like the graphs on my blog or other kinds of research. So please go on and filter it through that thinking as well.
Well, let's pretend that I did a study on emergency room visits. And I found that on the days that the sidewalk temperatures were higher, that there were more emergency visits those days than when the sidewalk temperatures are lower. Therefore, I conclude that hot sidewalks cause people illness and injury, and they're in the emergency room. And then I advocate for tax dollars to be spent on hosing down sidewalks on hot days to save lives, because, I mean, honestly, that's what a lot of our government-funded programs do. They're well-intentioned, but they're ineffective because they're hosing sidewalks on hot days when they're missing the whole point of what's actually causing the issue. So now there's a correlation between the hot sidewalks and the emergency visits, but one didn't cause the other. The most likely explanation is the hot weather caused both of them. We can see that in that example because it's based on something we already know about the weather. But when we don't already know something and we were to look at that, we could say, okay, one caused the other. It's the same thing that happened when they did the breakfast study and they found that there was a correlation between kids eating breakfast in the morning and doing well in school. So they said, okay, eating breakfast has you do better in school. Makes sense because it fits in with what we already know about breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And all the breakfast cereal companies totally jumped on that statistic, and they use it in their commercials to sell their products. But then later on, they found that there was absolutely no impact when you added breakfast onto certain children and their academic performance. Only if they were malnourished did it make any difference. But what was happening is the kids who come from homes where they weren't serving breakfast, there were other factors present that was contributing to their academic performance, not the breakfast.
Want to interrupt you because I want you to take all these examples and apply them to the whole single and double parent thing.
There is not enough statistics evidence
that you saw that got you riled up in a good way.
There's not enough evidence to support that being in a divorced family or single parenting household in itself causes school dropouts, depression, high risk behavior, alcoholism, drug abuse, teen pregnancy, all the things that were listed in those graphs. Mm-hmm. What it does is it points to a correlation, but it doesn't mean that the cause couldn't be something completely different. Just like I could present a lot of statistics supporting the idea of divorce by showing all the negative outcomes for children raised in two-parent households where there's parental conflict. You see poor academic performance, you see substance abuse, you see all the same things. In fact, the two groups of kids can look indistinguishable. The real issue is...
So what do you take from all this? What is your conclusion? I mean, we don't have a lot of time. You've raised so many interesting conflicting ideas. I'm not sure where you come out in the end.
As individuals, the further away we get from the things that truly matter and having a healthy family and healthy relationships, the harder it's going to be on our children. The more we value this like sense of uber independence, the more closed off and guarded we get. The more we value the superficial things, the less connected on a deeper level we get. The more oriented we are towards instant gratification and impulsivity, the less patient we are with the imperfections of others, with the normal day-to-day frustrations that come with being in a relationship with somebody. If we're not in touch with our emotional, spiritual, and psychological needs, we cannot...
There's frustrations? Really?
We have no patience for that. We think, oh, that's it. Get out of here. We're done. I'm out of here. And that's a part we have to work through that. And if we do not know what our emotional, spiritual, and psychological needs are, we cannot create fulfilling lives. It has nothing to do with whether you're married, divorced, single parenting or not. If you are not a healthy individual who knows what you need to have a fulfilling, balanced life, then the negative outcomes that you see in the statistics will continue to be present in our culture. When we take the effort to get to know ourselves, to heal from our past, and to be balanced, fulfilled individuals, our children will soak that up, and they will be more likely to be healthy, balanced individuals.
Okay, so what I'm taking from that is married or single doesn't matter as much as being a complete person, whether you're one parent or two parents.
Absolutely. The healthier you are, the healthier your children can be. My husband is a dating and relationship coach.
But in the abstract, let's take two healthy situations. A very healthy, totally psychologically centered single mom or dad, and two totally healthy, totally centered, psychologically healthy a dad and a mom. Do you not believe the children will be better off in the latter home than the former?
I think that if I were to look at that and I were to apply my value system onto that scenario, which is the only way I can answer that because I don't have any statistics or knowledge or research to back it up, then I'm just going to pick the household that supports my personal values, but that doesn't mean that it's healthier for that child. So if I agree, you know, if I believe in marriage and think it's essential, I'm going to say, well, then the married situation is going to be better because that's what's in line with my values. Well, that doesn't actually mean it's based in truth. I know enough to know that I don't know.
Okay. Well, I would disagree with you there. I would choose the latter, not only because of my value system, but because I believe all things being equal, healthy households, I think the kids get more from the dual parenting of a man and a woman, a dad and a mom. But, you know, Dennis Prager talks about studies and statistics a lot. And I'm curious what you have to say about his basic assertion, which is that all studies do is confirm what common sense tells us. Anytime it goes against common sense, they're usually bogus. I've really reduced his thinking to a very short sentence, but that's kind of what I take. When I look at a study and it just doesn't make sense from my life experience, I wonder about it. He basically believes studies confirm things that we really know from observing life and being old enough to know certain truths about life, men, women, and all the things that might be studied, including marriage. What do you say about that? And we have no time left, so tell me quickly.
I think that the major flaw in every research study is it's conducted by human beings, and we're naturally flawed individuals, and we will always, always have flaws in all the research, no matter how perfect it is, because we're seeing it through our eyes, and we can't see the world any differently than the way that we see it.
Okay. On that note, please tell our listeners where they can find you.
Theparentingplayground.com is where I blog. We're on Facebook under the same name. On Twitter, I'm dr_Weberman. And I want to add that my husband is a dating and relationship coach, and this is what he does for a living. And he's at northstarcoaching.com, and he's fantastic if you're interested in pursuing this journey of getting to know yourself.
Well, let's do a segment with you and Jason about his business.
I would love it.
Okay, I'm serious. I mean, you have an open invitation. Let's just do it. Maybe do a whole show. Let's do a whole show. Okay, we'll figure it out. We'll do a whole show about all of that, because I need to bank some shows when I'm going to be gone. All right, we got to go. Let's plan that, Dr. Jennifer. Stay tuned for some closing remarks, and we'll be right back. You did.